want you to consider your life this morning, and I want you to do it in light of what Chad's challenged us from Galatians 6 and Paul's statement, "Far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ." So my responsibility for the few minutes that I have of sharing this morning is to give you a reminder summary of Galatians and a reminder summary of what God expects of you after having studied this book together the past few months. And I want to start for just a second with a word of warning. I want to warn you not to allow yourself to think that there really isn't anything for you to do with Galatians. You came, you listened, you learned a thing or two perhaps. The study is over, and now it's time to move on to something else. God always holds each of us responsible for what we do with the word every time we hear it. If this is God's word for us, as we believe it is, then every time we read it or study it or hear it, God is trying to communicate with us. And if we don't have ears to hear and eyes to see and hands and feet to follow through, that's on us. And that's serious. I'm going to do the two tasks that I have this morning, actually summary and application simultaneously this morning. And I want to do it through the avenue of making much of Jesus. So I would word the application and the summary both together this way: by the Holy Spirit's help, boast only in Jesus. For without Jesus, you are helpless, hopeless, and homeless. I didn't actually mean to alliterate when I was jotting my thoughts down. Those were the first words that came to mind, so I kept them. By the Holy Spirit's help, boast only in Jesus. That's our response, our responsibility to hearing God's word spoken and studying it together. Boast in Jesus. For without Jesus, the summary of Galatians, you are helpless, hopeless, and homeless. So let me start with the latter half of that definition with you this morning. Without Jesus, we are helpless, hopeless, and homeless. Each of the following statements that I'll put on the screen for you come from Galatians, and I think very adequately summarize the main theme that Paul is trying to present to the Galatian believers and to us as well. Number one here, without Jesus, there is no true gospel message. And I'm going to have various texts on the screen as far as the references. Feel free to jot them down for sake of time. I'm not going to read through each one of these. I trust that you've been studying this with us and you know some of these. And if you want to go back later and check them out, jot them down. But without Jesus, there is no true gospel message and no call of God in the grace of Christ. Paul says that very plainly. Without Jesus, there's no gospel, there's no true gospel, and there's no call of God in the grace of Christ. Without Jesus, there's no deliverance from our sins in this present evil age. He says that right away at the beginning of the letter. Without Jesus, there is no justification of human beings before God. That's a very prominent theme in Galatians. Without Christ, there is no justification, no declaring righteous, no standing before God whatsoever for any human beings. Without Jesus, there is no redemption from the curse that our sin and our own attempts at getting right with God have earned us. Paul says you are under a curse if you rely on works of the law. And then Christ came and bore our curse. And so without Jesus, we bear the curse ourselves and we are eternally under God's condemnation. Without Jesus, there is no faith and no life and no giving of the Holy Spirit. And so as you know, the Holy Spirit is a major theme in the book of Galatians. He's the one that began the work in you. He's the one that carries out the work in you. He is the one that will one day finish the work in you. And as he works in our lives, we have responsibilities to live out that working. And it's always by the Holy Spirit's working in us and through us. Without Jesus, there is no freeing from our enslavement to other things. Paul says other gods, which would be a reference perhaps to other religions or idolatry within our own hearts. I summarize it this way. There is no freeing from our enslavement to our sin, to ourselves, and to the law. Without Jesus, there is no adoption as sons, no becoming heirs of God. Can you imagine? You are a son or a daughter of God if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior this morning. You are an heir of God. Think about God as the one who has bequeathed everything he has ever created to you as his heir. And without Jesus, there is none of that. Without Jesus, there is no relationship with God, no knowing and being known by God. There's no close personal father-son relationship without Jesus. None of us can have that unless Christ is at work in us. And then without Jesus, we have no home, because we have no hope of righteousness and no eternal life. And I would remind you, friends, that Jesus and works don't mix. Jesus and any kind of human merit, any kind of attempts at right living, any kind of Herculean effort to do enough good things that God will be pleased with me and I will earn or merit or maintain standing with him, that is not compatible. You choose one or you choose the other. They don't mix. And if you hold to, trust in, and rely on works of any kind, Paul made it absolutely clear in chapter 5, verses 2 through 4, that Christ is of no advantage to you, and you find yourself without Jesus. And without Jesus, you are helpless, hopeless, and homeless. That's my summary of Galatians. The application then is boast in Jesus and only Jesus. By the Holy Spirit's help, boast only in Jesus. Don't boast either to yourself, which we would probably be more quick to do, right? We think ourselves is okay before God. I do all these things for God. Or to others. In anything, don't boast in anything that you might think you bring to the table. Anything that you might think gives you standing with God. Boast in Jesus. Make much of Jesus. Brag on Jesus. Lift Jesus up for all to see. Tie your identity to Jesus. As Chad encouraged us, be thrilled with Jesus. Be so excited about who you are in Jesus that you can't help but tell other people about Jesus. I was talking to someone a few weeks ago that I hadn't seen in a while, and we were just talking. He asked how life was going. He asked how Jack was doing. And so I start telling him a little bit about how Jack is doing, and I start telling him about some of the fun things that Jack is doing. And then I have to share a story about something cute that Jack did. And a few minutes later, I realize this guy has tuned out. He is not listening to me anymore. He asked a question. He got an answer. But he got the really long version of the answer. And I thought to myself, oh my goodness, I have become that dad. I am like the grandma that pulls out her wallet and pulls out the billfold of pictures and goes, like, look at all my grandkids with that accordion file of photos. I was being that kind of a dad. Why? Because I like to boast about my son. I think he's great. I think he's awesome. I love him dearly. And I want other people to know how awesome my son is. And that love for my son and desire to boast in my son should pale in comparison to my desire to boast in Christ. We should find our identity in Christ. We should be so excited about Jesus, as Chad said, that it puts us to bed at night. I like that. And it wakes us up in the morning. So don't let your boast be in the religious rituals you keep or the spiritual disciplines you practice. Don't let your boast be in what you've sacrificed for God. Don't let your boast be in how you've served God. Don't let your boast be in the knowledge, even Bible knowledge that you have. Don't let your boast be in your education, however much you have and no matter where you got it. Don't let your boast be in the convictions you hold. Don't let your boast ultimately be anything that you have done or are doing. These things didn't get you salvation, Paul said earlier in chapter 3, and they can't keep your salvation moving forward or guarantee your salvation to finally take place. Only Jesus can. I wanted to read quickly just a section of Philippians to you. This stuck out in my mind as something that would tie in very well here, because Paul had things he could boast in. He was, let me just read it for you, Philippians chapter 3, rather than tell you what I'm going to read and then read it, I'll just read it. Philippians chapter 3, verse 4 through verse 11. If anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. But whatever gain I had, whatever boast I had, I count as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as lost because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things, and I count them as rubbish. This is the word, parents, that you don't let your children say. It's not really rubbish in the original language. It's a much stronger word. Paul says that is worthless. It's junk. It's gross. It's something to be thrown out. It's nothing to me in order that I might gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith. And I think we have Paul's heart just exploding right here out of his words. That I may know Christ. That I may know Him. That's what I want. That's my greatest desire. That's my boast. That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and may share His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death. That by any means possible I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. What's your boast this morning? Is it in who you are? What kind of roles you have in a family? What things you've done in a church or a spiritual setting? Or is it in Jesus? I would encourage you by the Holy Spirit's help to boast only in Jesus. Make all of your sin and shortcomings and failures all about you. Make everything else in life all about Jesus. All of the good, all of the sacrifices, all of the serving, all of the knowledge, all of the convictions. Make it all about Jesus. And of course, we know that we can't boast in Jesus without the Holy Spirit's help. None of us would do it naturally. None of us could do it naturally. We've already seen this over and over again in our Galatians study and in our summary, that there is no faith, no life, and no change from the inside out without the Holy Spirit's work in you. No forming of Christ in you without the Holy Spirit's work in you. There is no relationship with God and no ability to have a relationship with God without the Holy Spirit's working in you. And so, as Paul says, walk in the Spirit. Be led by the Spirit. Keep in step with the Spirit. Rely on Him, letting Him lead you to boast only in Christ. The Holy Spirit always takes the spotlight of Scripture and shines it on Jesus. That's what He does when He works in our lives. Let Him also take the spotlight of your life and shine it on Jesus as well. So how can you do this? There's a few, four practical ways that you can boast in Jesus. I'll end with these. Keep learning about the cross and the significance of the cross. Julie and I talk a lot in our house about wanting to be lifelong learners. Never stop learning about the cross and seeing and diving into the significance of the cross. Work to see the gospel on every page of the Bible as you read it. The gospel of Christ crucified for you is the undercurrent that carries the flow of the Bible from beginning to end. Throw yourself into seeing the significance of the gospel. Pour yourself into knowing its breadth. Give yourself to knowing its depth. Spend your life applying the gospel to yourself and to all that you do. Read gospel-saturated writers. Listen to gospel-saturated or gospel-focused preachers. Sing gospel-infused music. Fellowship with gospel-minded brothers and sisters. Help create a church family that revolves like the earth on its axis around the gospel, having everything we do stained, tainted, and touched by the gospel. The gospel, which is the message of the cross, is a well that never runs dry. Drink deeply from the gospel well every day. Second here, keep humbly approaching and trusting God as your loving Father no matter what comes. Over and over again, Paul in Galatians is bringing up the idea that we are sons of God, daughters of God, heirs with God. Remember that you cannot change that standing before God, either for the better or for the worse, because your standing is based solely on Jesus' standing before God and the positional standing He has won for you as a son or a daughter or an heir by His death on the cross. God loved you in Christ while you were His enemy. He is going to love you in Christ while you are His son or His daughter. He saved you and adopted you into His family, and the Holy Spirit gives you the ability to say to Him, Abba, Father, to call Him a very close and relational name. Remember that no matter what may come into your life, if you have a relationship with God through His Son, nothing can separate you from God's love for you in Christ. Romans chapter 8, verses 38 and 39. I am persuaded, Paul says, that nothing, life, death, anything in between, can separate you from God's love in Christ. And so humbly go to Him as a father. Learn to love Him and be loved by Him. Learn to know Him and be known by Him. Keep approaching God as Father. Third, keep fighting sin and keep doing good. I put these two together rather than making them separate because I think they go hand in hand. Focus on doing what God wants of you with the right heart and the power of the Holy Spirit, Paul would add. In the process, you will be fighting sin. So I took this from Galatians chapter 5 where Paul is talking about sow to the flesh or sow to the spirit. You have to pick one. You can't sow to both. If you're sowing to the flesh, you will not be sowing to the spirit. If you're sowing to the spirit, you will not be sowing to the flesh. Sow to the spirit, and the spirit kills the flesh. Keep fighting sin by keep doing good. You could even look at it that way. Never grow weary of killing sin, pride, and idolatry. Do not give up on doing good works, Paul appealed to us. At the appointed and right time, you will reap the harvest that leads to eternal life if you do not give up. And of course, that is only possible through Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit's help. Fourth and finally here, surround yourself with brothers and sisters who can help you. God never intended the Christian life to be an on-your-own sort of relationship. We were saved into a family. And God expects us to be part of the family we belong to. I really believe that means letting people into your life and getting into other people's lives, being involved in what's going on in their life. It's the same, I think, as being known and knowing God. It's a two-way street. This is something that is done at the regular gatherings of the local church. So regularly be present and engaged when the church meets, whenever possible. This is also done outside the regular meetings of the church. So regularly be present and engaged with each other, doing life together outside of the times when the church regularly meets. You don't get to pick one or the other. If you're a follower of Jesus, both giving yourself to the church family as a whole and giving yourself to each other individually outside of the gathered meeting times are God's design for you. So our summary of Galatians and the application I think Paul would have us see is this. By the Holy Spirit's help, boast only in Jesus. For without Jesus, you are helpless, hopeless,